Hello, I'm Renee Kramer, welcoming you to the FWC podcast, where we are bringing faith to life. To learn more about service times and discipleship classes, please visit our website at fwcbtown.org or visit us on Facebook at fwcbtown. Now grab your Bibles and get ready for today's sermon.
This week, I was speaking with Bishop Hooks on the phone, and we were talking and having a good conversation, and as the conversation was wrapping up, he said, "Let me pray for you," and he began to pray for me, and then he began to move into the prophetic, and he began to speak, and so I have this short from him that I want to read, and the Lord spoke to me in the middle of that to preach this to you today. He said, "Tell your people to get ready. Tell them they are walking in a season of blessing from the Lord. Something supernatural is about to happen. Tell them that the things that were struggles won't be struggles anymore. If they tried to buy a house before and couldn't, tell them to try again. If they tried to start a business before and it failed, tell them to try again. No's will become yeses. Tell them to knock again." I want to share with you out of Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Verses 7 and 8 today. Jesus was speaking here in Matthew chapter 7. Actually, if you look at this, it goes all the way back. It's 5, 6, and 7. It's this whole message where Jesus was up on the mountain and he's sharing this message. But here in verses 7 and 8, he says, "Keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, finds. And everyone who knocks, the door will be open." We see a progressive intensity happening here, going from asking to seeking to knocking. The intensity has to increase. This is a threefold aspect of prayer and three different rewards. But our intensity has to change. Do you understand? We talk about this, as even Apostle was just alluding to, as we see the time approaching. Do we believe that the Lord is coming back soon? If you don't believe it, you're living in denial. I just want to tell you, he's coming back soon. So your intensity has to change. Your intensity has to grow. What was good enough a year ago isn't good enough now. What was acceptable for the church 5 years ago isn't acceptable enough now. We have to begin to understand that our intensity has to change. And I believe when I was speaking with Bishop and he was talking to me, he didn't say, "Tell your people to ask again." He didn't say, "Tell them to keep seeking." He said, "Tell them to knock again." Because I believe it's very important, the intensity level that we're supposed to be at. It's very instrumental in what happens next for you. But I want to break it down because maybe you're not there yet. Ask. When you make a request known to God, that's asking. When you make a request, your request known to God. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Now, there's something you have to understand about asking. It says, "In everything, in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving." First of all, be thankful. Thankful in the trials. Thankful in all the things that are happening in your life. "Well, this didn't go right, but I'm going to thank God." And with prayer and supplication, I'm going to make that request known to God. He's talking about your request, your dailiness. The things that people worry about. Well, I worry about where I'm going to eat, where I'm going to sleep, how I'm going to pay the bills. Those are the things that God wants you to make known to him, even though in the chapter 4 he tells you, "I already know these things. And did I not care for the birds? Did I not provide them food? Did I not provide them shelter? Would I do so much more for my children?" So these are the requests that we have that he's saying, make these requests known to the Lord. He doesn't want you. He says, be anxious for nothing. Hello. Some people that are anxious all the time need to hear that. Be anxious for nothing, because see, whatever you're anxious about, you can make that request known to the Lord. That's what he wants you to do. And when you let it be known to him, then it says he will give you peace. He will give you peace. If you want to walk in peace, all you have to do is make your request known to God. It's real simple. It's real simple. You know, last week we had prayer, you know, and Katie came down for prayer. And she came down and she said, I got a big test this week. I'm anxious about it, right? She made her request known so that she could be prayed for and that she could be at peace as she took the test. I'm going to ask and I'm going to make my request known. The reward for asking is receiving. It's pretty simple. The reward for asking is receiving. James 2, verses 2 and 3, it says, you want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You're jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war to take it away from them. You don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. Have you ever been around, watched a group of kids playing, or watched a group of kids out, and maybe all the parents are sitting around, they're all talking. Maybe you're the only observant parent. Do you feel like you're the only observant parent sometimes? Oh, Lord. Sometimes I get in a room, and I'm like, man, are these parents ever going to pay attention to their kids? You know, hope that ain't you. But you're in a room, and all of a sudden, maybe one little kid walks up to their parent, and they say, hey, you know, can I play with that? And you're like, no. And then all of a sudden, that other little kid heard it, right? So what they do, they walk up to their parent, and they say, can I play with that? And they're, sure, here you go. And then what do? They look at that kid and go, smile. It happens all the time. When you like to go out to dinner with people. You go out to dinner with a group of people, and maybe you're not paying attention, right? You walk in, you sit down at the table, and you tell your kids, we're all ordering waters today, okay? Waters. And then that one kid that always orders water is sitting there, and he goes, oh, can I have a Coke? And he's like, yeah. You know, I mean, they don't want the Coke, he just looks and smiles. You know? Sometimes we want something, but we ask for it with the wrong motive. We want it just because someone else got it. Oh, you know, I'm picking on kids today, but I'm going to tell you adults do the same thing. Right? Vacations, cars, decorations in your home. You go over to someone's house and you see stuff on their wall. I want that on my wall. Man, I'm going to go and invest in Hobby Lobby stock because someone's about to go shopping. You know? We look at all these things. We see it and we want it. Why do we want it? We only want it because someone else got it. When we ask for things, not because we want them or we need them, we ask for them because of our wrong motives, the Lord says you won't receive those things. Right? They used to call that keeping up with the Joneses. Right? Anybody heard that? I don't hear that anymore. I guess the Joneses went bankrupt. You know, because you know, too many people tried to keep up with them, and the Joneses were trying to keep up with themselves. They ran out. You don't need to keep up with anybody else but yourself. Keep up with what God has for you. 1 John 5, 14 and 15, it says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. See, it's important that our motives are correct, that we ask according to the will of God. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked for. So we have what we have asked for. It's simple. Ask. Ask. All you got to do is ask. I mean, this happens all the time. I mean, you'll be walking, you know, we had Easter. We had all kinds of beautiful desserts out there for Easter in the foyer. Anybody remember that? Wasn't they good? Well, you know, I could see someone sitting around, I didn't get a cookie after church. No one gave me one. Did you ask for one? You know, well, no. I mean, you got to learn to ask. It's amazing how someone said, well, no one included me in that. Did you ask to be included in that? Well, no. I mean, we have to make our request known. If you don't ask, guess what? You probably aren't going to receive. So the reward for asking is receiving. What do you need to receive? All you have to do is ask. What do you need? What do you need? This is your daily life. What do you need? What do you need from God? Ask. It's that simple. We must ask the Lord. Make our request known to Him. You know, it's not a give me. This is our needs. We ask. So then we take it to the next level of intensity, right? We seek. We're to seek. Seek is when we search after God, His Word, and His will. Seek is when we search after God, His Word, and His will. Because we have to ask according to His will, so we must seek His will. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need." Seek the kingdom of God. The reward for seeking is finding. The reward for seeking is finding. What are you seeking? What are you looking for? You know, have you ever been on the search for something? Maybe it's something, you know, rare. Maybe it was something when you were younger you had and you got rid of or let go. Maybe, you know, I hear a lot of you more mature men. You know, you talk about all these cool cars you had when you were younger, right? I know Gary Lewis talks about that. Oh, I had hot rod I had when I was younger. And then all of a sudden you get older, you begin to, man, I'd like to have that car again. You begin to reminisce about what you had, and you begin to look for it. Maybe some of you others, it was a gun you had that you don't have anymore. Ladies, maybe it was jewelry. Oh, I wish I wouldn't have got rid of that. Or maybe you lost it. Oh, I lost that. I wish I would have never lost that necklace. It was my mom's, or my mom wore one like it. I began to lose something, you know, and you want to find it. Maybe it's an antique, you know, something you saw in your grandparents' house, or you know, my sister, we were growing up. My grandmother, my mom's mom, had this oil lamp hanging up, and she turned that thing on, and you know, some of you don't even know what that is. But see, we remember that as kids, and so my sister remembered that, and they do all this yard selling, y'all. I know some of y'all are guilty at 127, you know, yard sale. And she goes out just looking and want to find these things. And she found this oil lamp that she bought that reminded her of our grandmother. That reminded her of our grandmother's house, right? And she found it, and what'd she do? She bought it. You know, when you're on the search for something and you find it, you have the reward. Right? The reward for your seeking is when you find it. Colossians 3, 1 and 2 says, "Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth." The Lord is encouraging us to seek Him, to set our sights on heaven. Because if surely we set our sights on heaven, we'll find it. The reward of living a life dedicated to Jesus is spending eternity with Him in heaven. If we seek it, we'll find it. If you don't look for it, you're not going to find it. If you don't look for that holy life this week, you're not going to find it. It's real easy to continue in all the things you've done before. We have to seek the things of God. And our reward is finding them. Proverbs 8, 17 through 21. He says, "I love all who love me. Those who search will surely find me. I have riches and honor as well as enduring wealth and justice. My gifts are better than gold, even the purest gold. My wages better than sterling silver. I walk in righteousness and paths of justice. Those who love me inherit wealth, and I will fill their treasuries. The Lord doesn't want us just searching for monies and riches and possessions, but he wants us searching for him. Those that search me will find me. And along with me comes wealth, gold, things that you need when we search him. But we've got it all wrong. We've got it all backwards. We just search. We search for the possessions. We search to keep up with those bankrupt Joneses. We search for the things that we want. We search for money. We search for happiness. The greatest happiness I got in my life was when I stopped looking for it. Right? Because we continue to have these searches, but we're looking for all the wrong things, as the country song says, in all the wrong places. Right? What do you want? Begin to look for it in him. What do you need? Begin to look for it in him. Why I want a good marriage? Look for it in him. Oh, well. Look for it in him. Look for it in him. Everything we need is in him. Deuteronomy 4:29, it says, "But from there you will search again for the Lord your God, and if you search for him with all your heart and your soul, you will find him." Jeremiah 29:13 says, "If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me." The Lord is never going to hide himself when you are searching for him. He is never going to hide himself when you search for him. Searching for the Lord is not just showing up to church on Sunday. Searching for the Lord isn't your radio dial is tuned to 88.5. That's not searching for the Lord. Searching for the Lord is to get into his word, to know him. I talked this morning in Sunday school about one of our core values, which is listen. Well, you can't hear the voice of the Lord if you don't know the voice of the Lord. You can't hear the voice of the Lord to listen to it if you haven't sought him. Seek the Lord. You want, well, I never get woken up in the middle of the night and get a dream. Well, how much did you talk to him when you were awake? Everybody just wants a vision and a dream at night. Well, guess what? Spend your day talking to him. How about that? Walk with him. Talk with him. Watch out, I'll break into a hymn. But we have to search for the Lord all the time, daily. Daily. His reward is so simple. If you seek, you will find. Man, that's so good. Because I know that that reward is there for you if you'll just do the work. That's what I told Katie when she came down here to pass her test. She said, "I need prayer to pass this test." I said, "You've done the work. You got to do the work. When you've done the work, God will give you peace. You'll be able to go pass that test. But you got to do the work. We got to seek. You got to do the work." Too many people want this done too simple. They want this too easy. I'm telling you, those Instagram preacher clips and Facebook preacher clips aren't enough. You watch it, you study it, and then you live it. I don't mind you listening to them, but get something about it. Study it further. Take it further. Apply it to your life, right? Seek the Lord, and you'll find him. Man, we spend more time seeking all of our 8 different apps on our smart TVs to find shows we want to put in our list, right? We search Hulu. Let me add that to my list. Search Netflix. Add that to my list. Search, you know, I don't know, all of them. I don't know. There's so many. Prime. I was doing it yesterday. I was searching. Tiffany came in. She said, "What are you watching?" I said, "Nothing. I've just been searching. I'm looking for something to add to the list. Can't find nothing." I spent 30 minutes trying to find something to add to a list to watch. Can't find anything worth watching, right? I'd probably just get over here and search this, right? Because if you seek, surely you'll find. But then it goes further and says knock. Ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll find. But knock. Knock's different. Knock is going to generate one of the best rewards of all. Because he says knock and the door will be open. Man, when I was speaking with Bishop and he said that, and he said, tell your people to knock again. Woo! Something inside me just got excited because I was reminded of the persistence of knocking. I was reminded that it takes persistence to knock, right? Lord, will you do this? Okay. And we wait, and we wait, and we wait. We must knock until the door is open. Have you ever tried knocking on the door of a sleeping teenager? You ever tried that?
It's time for school.
Is that all it takes? Hey, wake up. Hey, get up. Hey, it's time for school. Wake up. You know, you got to set a new rule. You're never allowed to lock your door again. Because I'm coming in your room, dumping cold water on your face. Right? Because you don't just knock and, oh, it's okay. They'll get up when they're ready. No. They're not going to. They're teenagers. Right? You got to knock. How many of you ever went crazy knocking? You know, eyes start bulging out your head. Open that door! You know? Maybe you've been to someone's house, and you know they're home, and they're not answering the door. Oh. Front door. Then we head over to the back door. Knock on the back door. I mean, then you're in the window like this. I know you're in there! I see you! Especially if they owe you money, right? Then they owe you money, and you may, come out here! I know you owe me that money! I know you got paid today, it's Friday! You know? We get all crazy knocking. You know? How much we go crazy over the littlest things. We're going to beat someone's door down because they borrowed $20 from us. Right? We're going to go all crazy. Crazy eyes because our teenagers aren't opening the door. And then they walk up. Then they look at you like, well, you won. You disturbed me. The good thing is when we knock and the Lord opens the door, he ain't going to look at us all disappointed. He's going to be excited that our persistency stay with. The idea of knocking implies that there's some type of resistance. There's a resistance. There's a barrier. If the door was open, you wouldn't need to knock. Right? If the door was already open, there would be no need to knock. But the Lord wants us to knock. We're going to look at Luke chapter 18. I'm going to read verses 1 through 8. One day, Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. Someone say, never give up. There was a judge in a certain city, he said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly, saying, give me justice in this dispute with my enemy. The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant request. And then the Lord said, learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Day and night. Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on the earth who have faith? It takes faith to be persistent. It takes faith to keep knocking on the door. It takes faith. You know what? I know this door's my door. I know this door's supposed to be open for me. I'm going to keep knocking because it's my door. Well, you know what? You shouldn't try this anymore. You know, I know this is my door. The world is going to tell you all the time, you can't do this, you can't do that. That door's not going to be open for you, right? That's the world. When you began to listen to them, you put your faith aside. But he says, blessed are those that never give up. Day and night are persistent with their asking, persistent with their knocking. We have to be persistent. God wants you to be persistent. He finds favor in those that are persistent. I know some of you, you were persistent when that girl said no. She turned you down, but you kept asking, right? Oh, you're trying to act cool right now. I see you. Ain't me. You know? I know some things in your life were worth you being persistent over. How much more is the promise of God worth you being persistent over? Man, I'll tell you, many of you, I have words in my phone from the prophets that have spoken over you. And sometimes I go listen to them. Some of you I get excited for because you're already walking in the promise. The door's already been opened. And others, I get sad. My heart breaks because you quit knocking. You had a word. You had a promise. But it didn't happen in your time. It didn't happen in your season. So you quit knocking. Well, I'm just tired of doing this. I get it. I stand up here every week. Just waiting. I want you to get it. So I understand. It doesn't happen always in our time. It doesn't happen the way we planned. It doesn't always happen the way we want it to be. But if God gave you a promise, that promise is for you. If God gave you a door, that door is for you. It's not for someone else to walk through your door. It's your promise. It's for you. Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 through 8. It says, this is the message from the one who is holy and true. The one who has the key of David. What he opens, no one can close. And what he closes, no one can open. I know all the things you do, and I have opened a door for you that no one can close. You have little strength, yet you obeyed my word and didn't deny me. I believe in my spirit that God is about to open some doors for his people that the enemy has wanted to keep closed. See, I'm telling you, that's what's about to happen. The enemy has wanted this door closed for you, but the enemy don't have the key. God has the key. He has the key. Jesus has the key to your promise and your victory. We say that, I'm going to see a victory. Because he'll do it again. Why? Because he's got the key. He can open the door. But you've believed the lie of the enemy, and the enemy don't want you to go through the door. Right? Sometimes, you know, you want to go through a door, and someone's standing in front of the door. You ain't going through his door. That's the enemy. He's just blocking your door for you. You can't go through his door. I don't want you to go through his door. So what does he do? He begins to distract you with other doors. Hey, go over here to this door. Come through this door. He begins to distract you. You're supposed to have this job, but he opens this door. Go through this door. Have this job. Well, you know, I mean, that job, it pays a little better. 50 cents? But it keeps you out of church on Sunday. It keeps you away from your family. You didn't pray about it. It wasn't the door God wanted you to go through. I tell people all the time, because I know the abilities I have. So I'm going to do a humble brag. I know the abilities I have. I could have a job making a lot more money somewhere else. But I wouldn't be doing what God called me to do. I wouldn't be doing the things God wanted me to do. Sometimes you have to walk through the doors that God opened, not the ones you want. God has a door that he wants you to walk through. And we spend so much time being distracted by the enemy because he don't want us to go through that door. He don't have the key to it. But we think he does. We think the enemy is the one stopping us from walking through our door. Well, you don't know all the things I've been through. You don't know all the things the enemy's done for me, done to me. He's blocked me at every turn. Something bad's always about to happen to me. Right, that's his job. He's just doing what he's going to do. But he don't have the key. All you have to say is, get behind me, Satan, and then walk through the door. Too many of us don't want to tell the Satan to get behind us. Too many of us don't want to lay down the thing we're struggling with. Too many of us want to continue through doors that we've tried to open ourselves. But just like that, the scripture says, you don't even have strength to open the door that I have for you. That means you can't open it on your own. The door that God has for you, only he can open. And if he opened it, no enemy can close it. That's what you got to understand today. No enemy can close the door that God opened for you. That means it doesn't matter what you've done in your life. The enemy can't lie to you and take your promise away. Because he can't close your door. What promise has God given you? Are you living on it or have you given up on it? Knock until the door is open. Knock until the door is open. The enemy's done nothing but try to distract us. And sometimes we fall for it and sometimes we have to regroup. We have to come back, say, okay, I've been distracted, but I'm not going to be distracted anymore. I know the door. I'm going to set my focus on the door that God has for me. It may not open for you tomorrow. Keep knocking. Your door may need to open next week, next month, next year. But I believe as we see this time coming, the end times are getting closer and closer. The word of the Lord was coming to you, and it said, knock again. I know that's for someone today. Knock again. I don't know what you've given up on. Knock again. I don't know if you said, this ain't going to happen. I thought it was going to happen. Knock again. If you've been turned down, well, you know, I had a promise that I was going to own my own house one day, but the bank turned me down. I guess it's not for me. Knock again. You know, Missy Bartley came up to me last Sunday, and she said, you know, she had went in, she lost her job, and she was praying for a new job, and she come in, and this job was posted for its pay, and she's like, well, okay, I had to do. So she goes and tries to get the job, and they said, well, we're going to give you the job, but we're also going to give you $7 more an hour. Oh, because the enemy can't close doors. And then her car messed up. Oh, man, my car messed up. I got to go get a new car. She went and got a new car, and they said, hey, you know what? We're going to lower your interest rate all the way down to 2.9%. She got 2.9% on her car. I said, how do you do that on a car? I have a promise. I have a promise. God's given me a promise. But he's given you a promise. He's ready for you to walk through the door. 2 Chronicles 7, 14 through 16 said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land. My eyes will be open and my ears attentive to every prayer made in this place. For I have chosen this temple and set it apart to be holy. The word just keeps coming back up. A place where my name will be honored forever. I will always watch over it, for it is dear to my heart. The Lord is looking for people that are willing to knock again. Knock again. Knock again. John, I'm going to have you guys go ahead and come on up. I don't have to keep y'all real long today. Because the word of the Lord was simple for us today. But I believe it's a great reminder that we have to increase our intensity. That little prayer that you do every night before you lay your head to sleep isn't enough. Getting in your car, oh, Lord, bless me today. It's not enough. We got to ask, make our request known. We got to seek his face. But when you've got a promise from God, you got to knock and knock and knock and knock. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. I believe that that prosperity is going to come from that open door. If you're not seeing the promise and the blessings that God has for you, it's because the door is still closed. And you've got to knock. And you've got to be persistent for it. And some of you, you've been knocking on things. You've been fighting things. You've been thinking, that door's never going to open. It's about to open. The key is in the lock. It's about to open. The Lord is ready. He's waiting, but he's waiting on you. We think we're waiting on God, but he's waiting on us. He's waiting on us to keep knocking, to keep seeking him, to quit trying to open doors that he's already closed. God has closed some doors, but it was familiar to you, and you want to open that door again. You want to walk through that door again. But God said, I closed that door. I've closed that door. That part of your life is over. This is the door waiting for you. This is what I have for you. This is your promise. This is your blessing. It's enough to sustain you.
We hope you enjoyed today's sermon. If you would like to sow a seed into our ministry, text the word GIVE to 833-613-0523. For more sermons and content like this, please subscribe and like this podcast and visit our website at fwcbtown.org or visit us on Facebook at FWCBtown. And remember, we are carrying the message of Jesus to reach those that are lost.